You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Pleasant day going on in Eastern Iowa, lower 60s, sunny. Hope you're enjoying it. Thank you for taking us along with you for the next hour. My name is Mark Dukes, and I'm joined today by Buttons, our producer, Scott Unash, preparing for opening night at Hawkeye Downs. First night of points races out there, and going to be a beautiful night out there. And by the way, later on we'll have a chance for you to win four tickets to any Friday night event out there at Hawkeye Downs. We'll give you the opportunity to do that at the back end of the show. Good stuff for you today. We're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by newly minted scholarship basketball player Austin Ash, the Mount Vernon product, who is somewhat of a crowd favorite among Iowa Hawkeye fans. Our first visit with Austin, and looking forward to that. That, again, coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're also going to talk about NCAA rules recommendations by the NCAA Basketball Committee, and a couple stories out of Marion. One that is the height of sportsmanship. The other one is still somewhat of an issue, and we'll get to those stories here in a minute. We'll bring you updates from the Wells Fargo and Iowa competing in the NCAA Final Four of the field hockey tournament. Last I looked, North Carolina, the number one seed, leading 1-0 at halftime, and they were battling weather problems out there in North Carolina. So help me keep updated on that, Buttons. Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing fantastic, and we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, really do. Let's start with a discussion Scott and I had yesterday about proposed rules changes. The NCAA Basketball Rules Committee meeting in Indianapolis the last couple, 3 days, and they have made a couple recommendations, and feel free to weigh in, 319-366-1600 is our phone and text line. What the committee has recommended today is a couple things. Number one, one-shot technical fouls for players who fake being fouled, a.k.a. flopping, among other things. Secondly, timeouts. The length of play in college basketball is somewhat of a concern, especially the last couple minutes. But what the committee is recommending is that if a team or a coach calls timeout outside of the 16, 12, 8, 4-minute windows that are set aside right now for media timeouts. If a coach or a team calls timeout, let's say 17 minutes left and a half, that timeout will be applied to the 16-minute break, and so on and so forth. So you're not going to have as many stoppages of play, it wouldn't seem anyway. And lastly, they're going to float a trial balloon at the National Invitation Tournament, experimenting with six fouls in a game. And, you know, that's a two-year experiment, may or may not come to fruition. But that's what's happened following up on Scott and I's discussion yesterday about proposed rule changes. Nothing on the quarter system. Didn't expect that to happen. As far as the technical foul for players faking being fouled, I think it's a good thing. But what it also is going to do is open up for criticism of officials who call said fouls? Was it a flop? Was it not? Did you fake being fouled or not? It's one more thing that the officials could be criticized for. As far as the timeouts, going to media timeouts, you know, I don't have a huge opinion on that. These rules are going to be either passed or not June 3rd by the rules panel of the NCAA. Any thoughts, Buttons?
Yeah, especially with the flopping. I think it's a good idea to keep the game moving, but at the same time, it's going to be hard to tell. I mean, there are obvious cases of flopping that you can see from home, but then you're not going to catch everything at the end of the day. Looking at the press release from the NCAA, it says the situation has to be clear and obvious, which, you know, in order to really count anything, it should be clear and obvious.
Only Bo Borowski knows for sure, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's one more thing. You got the block charge, which is always a difficult judgment for an official. It's the source of arguments with players and coaches many times. And now you throw in the flopping, or at least fake being fouled. You know, I don't know what other circumstances, there are many, that could fall into. But this is what the Rules Committee has done today. We'll see if it passes next month and go from there. The six foul thing, I think, that is going to be experimented in the NIT, I think it's a bad idea. You know, if you commit four fouls in the first half, you're eliminated from the game. I just don't think that's going to fly. Other rules that we talked about yesterday, widening the lane, that didn't come up. Among other things, I mentioned the quarter system. We'll see. You know, anything that will improve the game, I'm all for. But this remains to be seen whether technicals for flopping is going to be, you know, effective and an improvement on the game. We shall see. 319-366-1600, our phone and text line, if you'd like to weigh in on this or any other subject. Before we get to a couple other points of discussion, I want to bring you up to date on a couple things. Number one, the Red Hot Chicago Cubs trying to get to the 500 mark after a tremendous series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, beating their three top pitchers. The Cubs leading 3-0 right now in the sixth inning. It is the only afternoon game in Major League Baseball. The Twins in action tonight at Detroit. We'll have it for you with the pregame, 5:30. Again, 5:30 for the pregame on 107.5 FM. On the PGA Tour, the Wells Fargo Championship being contested at a very windy Quail Hollow course in North Carolina, Charlotte, that is. Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson has completed 9 holes of play. He just bogeyed the 18th hole, his 9th. He is +1 on the day and -1 for the tournament as he enters the front 9 and his last 9 in the second round. The scores, not particularly low. The leaders held jointly by Matt Wallace, Gary Woodland, and Patrick Rogers, all in the clubhouse at 6 under par. So as you can tell, if you can be under par after a couple rounds here, you're going to be in contention. Right now, the cut at +1, and that's going to leave Bryson DeChambeau, among others, on the outside looking in. He finished at +2. John Rahm in danger of missing the cut. A very strong field here. But right now, a three-way tie again at -6. We'll bring you updates on Zach before the end of the show. 314 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Buttons with you today, taking you right up until the 4 o'clock hour, where it will be the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Buttons, a couple stories out of Marion. I wanted to start with this one. Last night was the several conference track meets. The Mississippi Valley Conference meets were held. The Mississippi Division meet was held in Cedar Falls, the girls' version. And when they left that meet, Linmar and Prairie thought they had finished in a tie for first place with 130 points. And rejoicing on both sides, I'm sure, sharing a conference championship, a very nice thing. But then it was discovered there was a timing system error in the 400 hurdles event, and it misplaced competitors in that event. The result was Prairie won the divisional meet by a single point. And while Prairie was very happy, at the result, Linmar was obviously very disappointed, and it resulted in an exchange on various Twitter feeds between the coaches. Nathan Hopp, the Linmar coach, issued a three or four paragraph statement saying, while he was disappointed and somewhat disagreed with what happened there, he accepted the results and congratulated Prairie. And Prairie, in kind, on its Twitter feed, had very kind things to say about Linmar. And the reason I bring this up is because we live in such a divisive and finger-pointing climate these days for a variety of reasons. But I was struck by the sportsmanship between these two coaches, these two programs, and what was exhilarating for one, devastating for the other. At the end of the day, these teams have district meets and state competition to go to compete in down the road. They'll get a chance to redeem themselves. But I don't know, Buttons, for whatever reason, I was struck by the sportsmanship and the tip of the hat that was shown by both programs. That was really nice to see.
Yeah, especially, you know, like you said, in the world that we live in right now, this is really good to see. And it's really showing these high school athletes what it means to be an athlete at the end of the day. Looking further down Cedar Rapids Prairie, it actually happened to their boys a few years back. So, you know, I'm guessing that the programs really, at least Prairie, really knows how they feel at the end of the day.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm not sure anything can soothe the Linmar girls from that disappointing 1 point loss, but it is what it is. And congratulations to the coaches for living above that. It was just good to see. And those types of stories we need more of in these days. But one of the another story out of Marion that seems to grow legs as we go on here, and that Marion High School in search of a nickname. And the school decided to drop its nickname that has been used for decades, and that was Indians. And the first go around, there were, I think there was three recommendations what to have for a nickname out at Marion. And the winner there was Mavericks, which I thought was a swell nickname, until someone discovered that Samuel Maverick was a slave owner and that this just wouldn't do. So Marion's school board scrapped that idea. Never mind that Maverick is a television show, the Dallas Mavericks, named after that television show, apparently.
Top Gun,
yeah. So, another go-around for the Marion School Board and its students. The second voting will come Sunday. and the school board will act on that voting and recommendation on Monday. The three finalists now are, for the Marion High School athletic teams, Wolves, Storm, or no nickname at all. You know, Monarchs is a fine nickname. It's an alliteration with Marion Monarchs.
Sounds good.
We have the Wolves and the Storm. Mavericks sounded good to me.
Right. I mean, okay. Just looking at it, the Red Wolves, the Marion Red Wolves, it doesn't really roll off your tongue. But I do like the Red Storm. I mean, I was looking at what they would call their student section and all this fun stuff from Jeff Linder of the Gazette. And it, out of the three options, I love the Red Storm.
I think it's just going to be the Storm now. I think they've dropped the
Did they drop the red
part? Red part of it, but I could be wrong about that. If Marion chooses no nickname, it will be the only school in the state to not have a nickname. Now, Iowa Mennonite School in Kelowna didn't have a nickname, but it has been rebranded as Hillcrest Academy. It does have a nickname now. I think it's Rebels or something like that. There's one other school in the state that has Mavericks as a nickname, Clay Central Everly, out there in western Iowa. What should Marion do? 319-366-1600. And the other element of this, as I brought up in the first go-around, Marion is named after Francis Marion, the town. And while Francis Marion was considered a Revolutionary War hero, he was also a slave owner and was known to have persecuted Indians. What gives here? What gives here? I know Marion received a letter from the Meskwaki settlement, its leaders asking Marion to change the nickname. Hey, there are several other schools, Waukon Indians, among others, that still have that nickname. And to my knowledge, don't plan to change. The Marion has decided to go away from Indians. Okay, fine. It has gone through now two rounds of nicknames, and perhaps we'll select no nickname. I'm not here to beat up on Marion by any means. I think it's in a very difficult and precarious position. I thought Mavericks was just fine, but evidently someone thought not. And at the end of the day, is it a huge deal? Is it not? I just think it's just been sort of a mess for Marion.
It's been a mess for Marion, and you know, they're not the only ones having this situation going on. This is going on across the U.S. at this point. And it is a situation that I'm glad that I am not a part of, because it is difficult to change a name of a town, a school, your mascot. And at this point, you can dig into a lot. And, you know, find some blemishes within a reputation.
A few comments on the text line, 319-366-1600. Joel and Muscatine. Hey, in honor of Iowa's favorite musical, The Music Man, the Marion Librarians should have been an option.
Ooh.
1900, Marion Football Club. Well, that's well and good. What do you call the basketball teams or the golf team? 50-15, a maverick is an animal, usually cattle. A Mustang, parentheses, a horse, is sometimes called a maverick. What would you do? What's a reasonable solution here? 1626, where does this political correctness end? I wish I had an answer, 1626. And I know Marian graduates, some are not very happy with this. I mean, Marian, I think, goes back to the 1930s or 40s in its existence. It was the Indians for all those years. I'm not necessarily advocating it should still be the Indians, but, you know, Mavericks was thrown out on a relative technicality. And I mentioned that Marion, the town, its history with Francis Marion. Where does it end? Yes, I agree, 1626. How many people is it offending? Now, I appreciate the Meskwaki settlement weighing in. I'm sensitive to those thoughts. Are we catering to a minority of people that are offended? A majority? Where are we going to land here? If I was Marion, I'd say, to heck with it. We're not going to have a nickname. We're going to be Marion. We're not going to fight this anymore. 319-366-1600. I don't know. Andy on the text line, I'm surprised there weren't complaints about the NCAA being based in and holding this year's tournament in Indianapolis, Indiana. 64-29, calling it the Marion Storm is a nod to the derecho. So that one may not be an appropriate choice either. As you said, Buttons, you can look into darn near anything. Google Dukes, and one of the first things that comes up is a slave owner named John Dukes. Does it tarnish my name? No. I'm Czech and English descent. 3897 on the text line. All alumni I know, including my two kids, wanted to keep the Indians. Let's get to more here. They're rolling in. 50-15. I am an Iowa City West High Trojan alum. How soon before that has to go for a number of reasons? Yes, 8704, old man yelling at a cloud. No. No. 5786, and Marion's intermediate school is FMI. Francis Marion Intermediate. And no nickname should win. Finally, 3166, nowadays something will offend someone. Story to be continued. Sunday, the votes will be cast as to the next nickname for the Marion athletic teams. Will it be no nickname? Will it be Wolves? Or will it be Storm? Or, gosh, I hope this isn't the case, someone finds out something wrong is with the name that it chooses. The board will vote on Monday based on the voting of the students and teachers and whoever else is involved in the process. So we will bring you the results of that. I'm not sure whether the board meeting is during the day or at night on Monday, but we'll bring it to you when we know for sure what's going to happen. Let's turn our attention to our next guest, and we're going to take a break and allow him to be brought in by Buttons. It will be Austin Ash of the Iowa men's basketball team, and looking forward to a visit with him when we come back right here on the Gym Class.
Score a major payday this May with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the king of sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code HANSON100, H-A-N-S-O-N 100, and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Bulls or Celtics. And if either team hits a three, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on basketball and hockey playoffs or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code Hanson100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Bulls or Celtics and either team hits a three. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our menu is just as tempting. That's why friends always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. Stop in today with your favorite people. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Welcome back home.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back. The bottom of the hour on the gym class today. It's a wonderful Friday. Sunshine, hope you're enjoying it. And thanks for listening in today and your interaction on the text line. Right now, I'm very pleased to bring in our guest today. A guy who has got some great news recently, and a guy I'm looking forward to talking with, Austin Ash, joining us. Austin, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. You got the wonderful news that you are going to be on scholarship next season. But take us into how that happened, when you found out, and whatnot.
Yeah, so I've been in constant contact with Coach McCaffrey ever since the season ended. He was very helpful with me and helping me figure out what schools I was going to visit, what schools were interested in me and stuff like that. And he always told me, don't rule out Iowa. We got some stuff shaking out here and we'll see what happens. And then last week I talked to Coach McCaffrey actually at his house. They talked to me and told me that there's a scholarship available and then that they would want me to take that. So I talked with my family and friends and just kind of went over my options and what I was thinking about. And then I called Coach McCaffrey the next day and just got more information about it. And it really was hard for me to pass up that opportunity, talking about how there's more spots next year for shooting as we lose a lot of great three-point shooters in the lineup from the past years and just want another seasoned guy back in the locker room for another year. So I jumped on the decision right away and called Coach McCaffrey and committed on the spot, and I was very excited.
Well, it totally makes sense. I'm curious as to what might have happened had that opportunity not come along.
Yeah, I was still checking out some schools, a lot of smaller schools around Iowa. I really enjoyed Loras. They told me a lot of great things. I really think I would have fit in there and could have helped them do some things. I really like Mount Mercy as well, close to home in Cedar Rapids, having all my friends and family at the games and just go somewhere where I'm going to play a lot of minutes and be the guy, sort of. So I definitely would have those two were main options for me.
Austin, I've known your dad, Gary, for probably since before you were born. I don't know your mom, but I can only imagine their reaction when you told them. Take us through that.
Yeah, they were very happy for me. They know all the hard work that I put in ever since I was a little kid, and they have a lot to do with my success. My dad put in countless hours with me working out in the gyms and going to Cedar Rapids Jefferson practices when I was 6 or 7 years old every day from 3:30 to 5:30 and staying an extra hour to shoot and stuff like that, as well as my mom. She's been there every step of the way and just always been someone I could count on. But they were very happy. I think my dad actually might have broke down in tears when he first heard the news, but they definitely wanted me to come back to Iowa as well. So that's something I definitely considered as well. But they were very excited, and it was nice to see that smile on their faces when they knew the news.
No doubt. But we never saw videos of Kerry and Austin like we did Luca and Frank. Come on.
Yeah, we got to find those somewhere.
Speaking of Luca Garza, you've had a longstanding relationship with Luca, friendship, shared a place. How did that all begin, and how did it develop over the years?
Yeah, so we came in as freshmen together. I actually committed before Luca to Iowa, and I actually remember when he committed. He was on the football field. I think it was in the spring or the fall. In the fall. So that's when I first got introduced to Luca and started to talk to him over the phone and stuff like that. And then obviously we were in the dorms together, always hanging out, playing Fortnite, cards, just different stuff in the dorms. And then eventually when we moved off campus, we all got a place together, me, Luca, Connor McCaffrey, and Michael Lear. So that relationship just grew. We both have a tremendous love for the game. So I think that's what pulled us close together. We're watching NBA games till 1 in the morning, and then we're working out in the morning the next day. But no, it's a really great friendship, and I'm thankful for everything that he's done for me, and I feel like I've helped him out along the way as well. And really looking forward to success in the NBA.
Well, we need to peel back the curtains here a little bit, Austin. Does the guy cook? Does he make his bed in the morning? Tell us something we don't know about Luca Garza.
Let's see. I don't. He's not a bad cook, but I wouldn't say that's a specialty. Something you don't know. I would just emphasize that, like, how good a person he is. The things he does behind the scenes that you don't see on Twitter or Instagram, just for other people. He's someone that's always been there for me and countless of other people that I know of. Just a guy you can always count on, and an even better person off the floor than he is a player on the court.
Austin Ash joining us on today's edition of the Gym Class at 3:36, and we're visiting with him after he has received a scholarship for the Iowa men's basketball team. Austin, how have you viewed your role on this team up to now, and how it will be any different, if it will be at all, next season?
Yeah, so at this point throughout my career, I've just prided myself on doing everything I can to help the team win in anything possible, in practice, in off-season workouts, in open gyms, just pushing myself and pushing my teammates to be the best they could. Just really try to be a leader, especially these last couple of years as I'm getting older and starting to see the game better, and just feel like I have a feel for what we're trying to do as a program offensively and defensively. Just trying to point things out to guys and help them out, especially during the season when I knew my minutes were going to be lower because we had a loaded roster, a very good team. So just doing every little thing to help everybody else, point things out in timeouts, picking guys up when they miss a couple of shots, just little things like that. Being the main guy that helps run the scout team in practice and help the younger guys out with the scouting reports and stuff like that. And then moving forward, I mean, I think some of those duties will stay the same. I mean, I'm always going to try to be that leader in the locker room and trying to make my teammates as best as possible. But just looking for any opportunity to get on the floor and make the most of it. I think there will be some more opportunities this year. Obviously, there's an increased need for shooting. But I think like that's what I've done in the past couple of years, just trying to take the most of my opportunities and see what I can do. Not take any moment for granted, just play as hard as I possibly can when I'm out there.
Austin, another guy returning this year is Jordan Bohannon, who we know very well from Linmar and his days there, and I'm sure you've been friends for quite some time. He's been very vocal about name, image, and likeness, and it's easy to ask a consensus All-American like Luca Garza about it. And Jordan Bohannon has been very vocal about that. I want to get your thoughts on that particular topic.
Yeah, I know Jordan's very passionate about it and has been ever since he really stepped out of the campus, and his brothers were very passionate about it when they were playing as well. I think it's great what he's doing, trying to help out all college athletes in the future with the NCAA. And I hope he gets somewhere and it gets completed and eventually will get done. But I mean, I'm not as knowledgeable as he is on the whole thing, but I support him and everything that he's trying to do with the whole thing. And hopefully, eventually, college kids will be able to profit on their names and such.
Thinking back to your days at Mount Vernon, Austin, and given the opportunity of being a preferred walk-on at Iowa, I don't imagine you have many, if any, regrets in that regard, but was that a hard decision? Was it a dream to be given that opportunity?
Yeah, I would say a dream would be a good word for it. It wasn't very difficult to me as I committed before my senior season, actually. So a little different most guys, especially in a walk-on position. But I was starting to kind of burst onto the scene a little bit, starting to see some NAI offers, the Division II looks. But I definitely had not reached my peak at that point. Definitely would have had some more schools and options. But as soon as Coach McCaffrey called me and offered that walk-on position, I think I gave it about 24 hours. It has been a dream of mine ever since I was a kid to play at the university. That's just something that I grew up a Hawkeye. So, I mean, once I got the opportunity and heard that on the phone, it didn't seem real. So I talked it over with my dad and my mom and my sister and my family. And it just seemed like a no-brainer. 30 minutes down the road, and I don't regret it at all. I've made lifetime memories with friends, and I've loved every year, freshman year, sophomore, all the way up to this year, and seen this program grow and all the way to getting the 2C in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully can keep that going this next year.
Yeah, Austin, I just listening to you, I get the idea you hunger for a little bit more. I don't know how much more will be out there for you, but you want to be more than the guy at the end of the game, and people are setting a line. How many threes is Austin going to get up in the last couple 3 minutes type of thing. I remember a floater you made on the baseline against somebody, which was nice, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah, what are your aspirations this year for yourself?
Yeah, it starts now for me, just trying to get bigger and stronger and finding my way on the court. I mean, that's definitely my number one goal, just trying to get consistent minutes and try to make an impact. Not just being a guy that's going to come in and shoot the ball at the end of the games, like you said, trying to be an impactful defender and a guy on offense that moves the ball and can find the open man, as well as knock down a shot and shot fake and get to the rim and find a way to get to the free throw line. And just trying to get on the floor and help the team win. That's kind of been my motto since I've been here. And obviously haven't got a ton of those meaningful minutes. Had a couple opportunities a couple years ago and ended up getting mono, so that kind of hurt my chances. But I do think there's definitely going to be some minutes available for me, and I got to earn them. I mean, nothing's given. Coach McCaffrey's going to play the guys that are playing well. So just going to try to take the most of it and see what I can do.
Talking with Austin Ash of the Iowa men's basketball team on the gym class today at 3:41. Austin, let's look at this team next year. Obviously, Luka is gone. Joe Wieskamp probably will be gone. C.J. Frederick is gone. How do you look at this team this coming year in terms of assets? I'm sure you don't want to talk about the liabilities, but take a look at this team and what people might expect out of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're going to be different. We're not going to have the national player of the year. And obviously, it still remains to be unseen with Joe. But we returned. I mean, it's great news getting Jordan back, a guy who's played, I think, the most games in college basketball. And there's nobody you want the ball in their hands at the end of the game more than him in the whole country. So obviously, that's great to have back. And then guys like Joe Toussaint, Patrick McCaffrey, Keegan Murray are just going to take even bigger jumps from their games last year and just take their games to another level and be more scorers, I think, as well. With that opportunity in that lane, I'll be more open as well. And then, like guys like Tony Perkins and Aaron Ulis can expand their roles as well. Great players just need to get comfortable and just get that experience. Obviously, we're freshmen last year. I think we'll be a lot faster and can be better defensively. And I think we're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then we got the transfer from North Dakota. I haven't got to talk to him in person yet, but seems like a really nice guy. Watched his highlights. I think he can be a great player for us. And obviously, the freshmen coming in can all be impactful as well. And Chris Murray and then Connor McCaffrey, having him back, an experienced guy that can keep a locker room together and is not going to turn the ball over and is always going to make the right play. So the pieces are there. I have high expectations, and I think we can really do some damage.
Austin, the final chapter for you as a college basketball player is yet to be written. At this point, how would you like Iowa fans to remember you?
I would just say to be continued. I don't think my story's done yet. I think I'm going to surprise some people this year. I know a lot of people think they just give this guy a scholarship because we have one available, but I think I can prove some people wrong. But as of right now, just been a guy that's been a great teammate and has helped lead this team to the tournament and help guys improve their games and be that guy in practice that's going to push the starters to the best of their abilities.
Practices must be just a dogfight, Austin.
Yeah.
Tell us what it's like.
Yeah, there's definitely some wars. I know me and Connor McCaffrey live together, and we've been best friends since high school, and we get in some wars, but then when we get home, it's like nothing happened. Michael Bear's been guarding Luka Garza for 4 years now, and he's caught more elbows than I think anybody ever has. You see it in the games. Imagine in practice, but it's all fun. We all push each other, and that's the only way they can get better is if we go all out on the court to simulate what those other teams are going to do. But yeah, it's a war. They don't take it easy on us, and we don't take it easy on them. That's how it's got to be if you want to keep improving, and that's what we've done since we've got here. We've improved every year, and see that by our record as well. Yeah, but it's been fun playing with a lot of great guys like Tyler Cook when I was younger, just some really good players that have helped me step my game up as well.
Austin, can't thank you enough for joining us today. Really enjoyed our visit, and congratulations, excuse me, on the scholarship, and I wish you the best of luck your senior year.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome, Austin. Austin Ash joining us today on the Gym Class, and, you know, in this business, you don't necessarily just interview consensus All-Americans and guys in the spotlight. I really have enjoyed Austin Ash's story. Whatever you think of him as a player, going through 4 years, 5 years, whatever it has been as a walk-on, and then to be rewarded with a scholarship, I think for what he has done in the locker room and being a good teammate and whatnot, I think it's just a terrific story, and a pleasure for him to join us today. Buttons, I'm sorry if I left you out and had a question.
No, it's all good. It was great hearing you two talk.
It's going to be fun to see if he can contribute to this basketball team. It's a very deep team, very guard-oriented, especially with Bo Hannon coming back. You know, several guards in play. We'll see how much Austin can contribute, but he's going to have a fun year. There's no doubt about it. Buttons, let's get to a break here. We need to give away some Hawkeye Downs tickets. Opening night, points races for Hawkeye Downs tonight. Gates open within the next hour or so, I believe. Racing at 7:30. Should be a great night out at Hawkeye Downs. We want to give away, excuse me, a four-pack of tickets to a Friday night race session at Hawkeye Downs. Buttons, let's go with caller number five. Caller number five will win a four-pack of tickets to a Friday night Hawkeye Downs show. And we'll announce the winner when we come back after this.
Bring the whole family to Hawkeye Downs for the first race night of the season tonight. It'll be a thrilling, fun-filled night for all ages with intense racing action from five different classes. Stop by the merchandise stand to snag a souvenir and visit the pits after the races for a chance to see the stars and cars up close. Gates open at 6, qualifying begins at 7, racing at 7:30. Don't miss the first night of the 2021 race season. Tickets are just $10 for adults. Kids 8 and under get in free. Come for a great night at the races tonight at Hawkeye Downs.
In celebration of moms that run the world, this Mother's Day, thank her in a big way with a beautiful bouquet of tulips from 1-800-Flowers. Right now at 1-800-Flowers, you can get 30 assorted tulips for $30. That's right, 1-800-Flowers is offering 30 assorted tulips for $30. With a bright range of orange, yellow, and pink blooms, these tulips will show mom just how much she's loved. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio icon and enter the code Greeny. That's 1-800-Flowers.com and enter Greeny.
Today's pros need today's tools, and nobody understands that better than the Home Depot. Our app makes it simpler to get supplies ordered and delivered. Our online project calculators cut guesswork and last-second supply runs. Job site delivery puts what you need where and when you need it. And rental puts the right equipment in your hands, but not your overhead. That's how today's pros get more done. New tech, new tools, old-fashioned hard work. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
For the one standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody, our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch, now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's gonna make me wanna go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Get ready for the growing season and shop the plant sale at Feed Iowa First May 8th. There'll be a variety of plants and produce available on a first-come, first-served basis. Each potted and ready to go. Buy one for $3 or build a tray of 15 for $40.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Whether you're just starting up, adding equipment, or expanding your footprint, Fairfax State Savings Bank is here for your small business, wherever you are. From your business to our office, to your kitchen table after a long day, we're there when you're ready to bring your dreams to life. We know small business. We love small business. So when it's time for a small business loan, talk to us. Visit thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank. Changing lives one neighbor at a time. Member FDIC.
Congratulations to Mike and Fairfax for winning those Hawkeye Down tickets.
Way to go, Mike. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for listening. And hope you enjoy a Friday night of racing out there at Hawkeye Downs. Again, first night of racing out there tonight, at least for points races, is tonight. So hopefully they have a good run at it out there. From the update desk buttons, the NCAA field hockey tournament, the women's tournament, Final Four, number one, North Carolina has defeated Iowa 3-0. So a good run for the Iowa women's field hockey team. Falls short today against a very, very good team in North Carolina. At Wrigley Field, the Cubs trying to get to 500 right now, leading the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-0, going to the bottom of the eighth inning. And again, Cubs coming off a terrific sweep of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, by the way, are themselves trying to stay above 500, only a couple games above 500 right now. So I'm sure Todd and Alex will give us an update on that Cubs final. The rest of the action under the lights, including the Minnesota Twins facing the Detroit Tigers tonight, trying to get off the schneid. We'll have it for you pregame 5:30 on 107.5. FM. And not good news for the Twins buttons. Byron Buxton, who was the player of the month in April in the American League, has gone on the injured list with a hip strain. And manager Rocco Baldelli says he will likely be out for, quote, weeks, not 10 days. And this is a guy who just cannot stay away from injuries. He's off to a terrific start this season. But on a ground ball yesterday, pulled up lame about three-fourths of the way down the line. You knew it probably was not good, and it isn't good for Byron Buxton. So another hurdle to overcome for the Twins. I don't know how much Twins action you catch, buttons, but Byron Buxton was off to a terrific start.
You know, I don't catch a lot of it, but I've been hearing a lot about Byron Buxton lately. And we didn't have the update from the Royals game yesterday, did we?
I don't know that we did.
It looks like that the Royals just... they lost every single game against the Indians that they had during that stand. But tonight, they're against the White Sox, so we'll see what happens.
I don't know who to root for there, but we'll see what happens. Let's go back to the Wells Fargo Invitational, where Zach Johnson is competing in the second round of that tournament out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Quail Hollow, where it is extremely windy right now. The guys in the afternoon wave did not get any break whatsoever. Zach Johnson now at +2 on his round through 11 holes. He is at even par for the tournament, still inside the cut line, which right now is at 1 over par. The leader is still at -6, Matt Wallace, Gary Woodland, and Patrick Rogers. Enjoyed our discussion with Austin Ash. If you missed any part of it, we'll have a podcast up. Buttons will take care of that right after the show. You can listen to that. It's at the bottom of the hour on that podcast. Our discussion about Marion trying to choose a nickname also gave us a couple other texts in the meantime on that subject. If you missed it, Marion down to 3 choices for its nickname: the Wolves, the Storm, or no nickname at all. 4,007 on the text line. I'm from Lisbon. The next thing we'll have is PETA trying to get rid of the Lions and Tigers and Bears and Wolves. Yeah. 3897, thank you for bringing up the Marion mascot dilemma. It's been frustrating for all of us Marion folks. There you have it. And again, Sunday, the voting commences on what will be the next nickname, we hope, for the Marion School District and its athletic teams. Mike Manderscheid, the athletic director, activities director, is going to be tasked with rebranding and getting new uniforms for most, if not all, teams. I know some of the teams out of Marion just have Marion across the whatever jersey is being worn, whatever uniform is being worn. But Indians is going by the wayside. Mavericks has been rejected. And now what will it be? No nickname, Wolves or Storm? Or are we going to go to a round 3? Geez, I hope not. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with next year's NFL draft. Perhaps a discussion on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn on that subject. How many players from the state will go in the first round of next year's NFL draft? Will it be 0, 1, or 2 or more? I think of Tyler Linderbaum coming out from Iowa, Breece Hall, the running back from Iowa State. Terrific prospect there. Maybe others. What say you? Go ahead and vote. KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team doing great work in that field since 2003. And you heard during the break a spot about Mother's Day. I want to send our best wishes out there to all the mothers, many of whom listen to the show and Todd and Alex's show. Hope you have a great day. Doesn't look particularly good weather-wise, but hope you can take it in, relax, enjoy with your family if that's what's going to happen. Every day's Mother's Day, right, Buttons?
Every day is Mother's Day, especially when you have a great mom.
And I guess even if you don't.
Even if you don't, it's still Mother's Day. You can.
I'm laughing at the same time. Appreciate you listening today on the gym class as we put a bow on it. Thanks to Austin Ash. Thanks to you, Buttons. Scott will rejoin us on Monday. Please stay tuned for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next.